Wit and flow is a skill that you basically gain over time, right? Essentially, the meaning is thinking quick on your feet and being able to steer the conversation without a second thought.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another podcast episode of The Podcast on Podcasting with your host, Adam AAA Adams. And I'm stoked because we have an expert on the show, Omar Mo. Omar, first off, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Adam. Stoked to be here, man. How are you?
I am really, really good. And I'm excited to have you because I met you on Clubhouse and you do a lot on Clubhouse. You add a lot of value to a lot of people on Clubhouse and I respect it. I admire it. And I even think that I sent you a message where I was like, I love how open-minded you are about building up other people because a lot of us, we have this limiting beliefs that are holding us back and making only us want to shine. But it seems like in those rooms on Clubhouse, when you're hosting them, it's all about pushing the other people up. And it's remarkable. I love it. And so I wanted to remark on it.
I really appreciate the kind words, Adam. I think the world is a really massive place. I think there's enough room for everybody on this planet to make millions times 10. I mean, money changes hands at all times. I think it's just you got to stay abundant, right? And if you can, at the end of the day, why are we doing what we're doing in the first place? We want to cause some sort of impact. I mean, the money's not going to stay there after I pass away, but the impact will.
Love that. That is powerful. All right. So here's something that I'm going to do with Omar that I don't do with everybody because I'm dyslexic. I freaking hate reading. I don't want to read, but your bio is so good that I don't want to miss anything. And so I'm just going to read it. And so if you're looking for a bio yourself, you won't be able to do every single thing that is in his, but you can kind of model it because it's good. How long did it take you to make your bio?
Not long. I'm a copywriter. That was like my first skill that I ever got good at. And back when I was like 18, and I've got this like books of poetry that I write randomly all the time. So it's kind of something that I just polished as a skill. And I like the eloquency of words. I think the English language is one of the most beautiful languages out there.
Well, I think French is. So we can disagree on that.
I love French too. Don't get me wrong.
In 2016, Omar found the courage to leave the comforts of home and book a one-way flight across the world. This was the beginning of a path that would take him across four continents in search of meaning and fulfillment. From billionaires to Budapest monks, he learned from hundreds of successful entrepreneurs and what made their businesses and lifestyle more fulfilling. Along the way, he built multiple profitable online businesses, earning an income from freelancing, learned how to properly manage and grow his wealth, and discovered a deep-seated drive that has stayed with him ever since. He also failed a ton and made tons of mistakes. Today, using his own experiences as well as lessons others have learned, check out our podcast. He says, The Nomadic Executive. He helped clients reach their own metric of success through his brand, Nomadables, and his podcast marketing agency, Nomads Cast. How'd I do?
Excellent.
Awesome.
Really good. Yeah, I should hire you as my voiceover artist.
I would be the worst. If I read that even 90% well this time, it's a one-time thing. All right. So podcasting is 60 to 70% focused on the host itself. That's what we want to get out of today's episode is growing the host. So I'm going to dive in. I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions about that. First off, the Nomadic Executive. That's what you're going to be looking for. That's Omar's podcast. Go and check out wherever you're listening to this podcast. It doesn't matter. He's got it everywhere too. So go there, type in the Nomadic Executive and be able to find his awesome hairdo. It is pretty badass hairstyle. I love it. So just go ahead and subscribe. And after you've listened to like one or two episodes, give him an honest rating and review. And as part of that, just say, hey, Omar, I found you on Adam Adams's podcast and I'm so glad I did. Make that part of your review so he knows where you found him.
You're the man, Adam.
Omar, let's talk a little bit about this. 60 to 70% of your success in podcasting is not the marketing, is not this, is not that. It's really growing yourself as a host, a better interviewer. So let's start there. Give us some feedback, what we can do as a new podcaster. And if I have to ask some questions, I'll dive deeper.
Sure thing. So yeah, right around 60 to 70% of what makes a podcast successful from what we see is actually being a host, a good host, right? It's being a conversationalist. It's knowing how to steer conversations in a way that's not boorish. You're not cutting off people in a way that's entertaining and educating at the same time. Now, you can do all the marketing tactics in the world, right? You can drive all the traffic you want to your podcast in the world. But what will happen and what you'll see if you're not a good host is the whole YouTube dilemma. People will come, watch an episode, listen to an episode, and then after that, they'll dip out, right? They won't tune back in. They won't really care too much about you. They won't resonate with you, the person that you're interviewing, because you weren't able to get anything out of them that was worthwhile. And they'll just leave. At the end of the day, you're going to end up wasting all those marketing dollars when they're not going to stick around. What's the point? Right. Now, there's definitely other positives that come from podcasting, like guest facing monetization and all the content and stuff. And even to create good content. At the end of the day, content is subjective, but you're just going to resonate with a lot more people if you're able to be a better conversationalist and be a better host and get things out of people that you need. So there are a lot of tactics that are tactical things. It's a very intangible thing to teach to people, because how do you teach someone to do conversation? Right. But there are ways throughout the years, I've kind of made it tactical, things that you should keep in mind, what makes a good host that you can start applying, or at least bring some awareness in your head so that when you're actually interviewing somebody, you can have these things in the back of your mind and think, oh, okay, I could do this right now is a good time to use this tactic or that tactic. But really, I think the base foundation of being a really, really good host comes down to being genuinely curious about someone. Curiosity, I think, really drives everybody to a really high degree. So being genuinely curious, if I'm going to talk about this, I actually have these host slides that I train everybody that I create a podcast for, my business creates a podcast for, and we make them go through this like vigorous 1.5 hour training done by me just so we can run them through. So I think I'll read some stuff off of here and I'll talk about it. Okay. So I'll go down the training here. So first things first, let's talk about the types of guests out there, right? And I kind of just broke this down into three simple categories. We have the ones that talk a lot. We have the ones that don't talk enough. And then we have the ones that talk just right. Now, the ones that talk a lot, you got to remember that you're the podcast host. It's your show. They're coming to your house, right? Unless you're like Adam, who lets his guests like me kind of do their free reign roaming and talk as much as they want. You got to remember, for the most part, it's your show. So if the person starts talking, and you'll find actors do this, you'll find people who have been on a lot of shows do this, and other podcast hosts do this as well. They'll just continue talking and talking and talking. And sometimes they'll end up in tangents that you don't want to be in. And at that point, as a show host, it's up to you to actually reel that conversation back in. Right. So along the same lines is why I think it's a good idea to kind of have an umbrella topic for each episode that you're going to do. A lot of shows, when they're first starting off, especially if they have no idea what they want the show to be about, they kind of just talk about whatever. And people don't want to listen to that. It's just boring conversation that's going from left to right. There's like maybe inside jokes in there that the audience can't relate to. Like the audience can't relate to that conversation. The audience is there to listen to one specific thing. They're to listen to you banter with somebody else, unless you're some really big star or some really well-known person like Russell Brand. He does that incredibly well, right? But even then, Russell Brand has a very good umbrella topic that he talks about. So if they talk a lot, steer it back. Number two, the ones that don't talk enough. Now, these are ones that, I mean, if you have them as a guest, you probably saw something in them that you wanted to talk about. It's up to you to dive deeper into their lives, to get them comfortable, and then get the gold nuggets out from them that way. And there are things that you can do tactically, like deep diving, which I'll talk more about here in a minute. The way that I like making these type of guests comfortable right off the bat is in the pre-warm-up talk, just like cracking a joke or maybe asking some icebreaker conversation starter that's just really left field that makes them like think or kind of laugh. And the moment that you see them laugh, that eases the tension a bit. And if the tension gets eased, then they're more relaxed. And if they're more relaxed, they can relate to you more and you can get the gold nuggets out of them more. Some of the best conversations I've had are with people that have never had a podcast before, but were just such genuine people that when I was able to break through that ice and actually make them relax, I was able to get this real deep emotional connection with them over the podcast. And by far, and I still remember it's episode 40 for me, where I've done this the best, in my opinion. People have gone out of their way to say, oh my God, this episode is amazing. I just felt so calm and relaxed. I was so emotionally connected to what you guys were saying. So that's really, really good to do. Then you can dive deeper into the person that doesn't talk a lot. And I'll talk more about that there in a minute. And finally, the third type of guests, the ones that are just right. And this usually, this dynamic happens, especially if it's two podcast hosts that know how to steer a conversation well. If it's two people that have like the same levels of social calibration, if it's two people that are like conversationalists and are also polite, like you'll see this. So perfect conversation, perfect back and forth. You just vibe with that person really, really well. I'm sure you've had guests like that, right? That's what I say, the just right. And you don't really have to do much with those guys. You automatically like can almost feel the direction that the conversation should go. And they also get that at the same time without you, either of you having to acknowledge it. And the conversation just goes smooth and swell. And people love that conversation. It just turns out to be an overall good podcast. You never have to edit those. They just turn out great. So those are the three main types of guests.
So let me jump in. I'm getting a lot of cool stuff. So here we go. The number one takeaway that I've gotten so far from you, Omar, is that most podcasts should be both educating and entertaining. The next thing that I got from you was this thing called the YouTube dilemma that we could get in if we don't do it right, which is where people come, but they don't stay. And if we're marketing a podcast that sucks, people are going to come, but they're not going to stay, which means we're going to completely waste our marketing dollars.
Right.
The next thing that I learned from you is that we just need to be a better host, we need to be a better conversationalist. And you talked about one of the things that help us to be better is to be genuinely curious. To love other people, to be curious, to want to know, and to be able to dive deeper on some of those subjects where we don't just ask a question robotically, go to the next question robotically. We want to exactly. be genuinely curious and being there listening to the responses deeply. And I like that. And you talked about that you help other podcasters from the beginning. And one of the things that you do is your hour and a half training that needs to happen in the beginning. And you talked about three types of guests. Right. I almost thought that this was three types of hosts, but it's really three types of guests exactly. that you'll have coming on your show. Some of them talk way too much. The big danger is that they might go off random tangents where it's not even part of what you're even asking them. And there, you got to find a way to bring them in and reel them back. The second type of guest that you might be interviewing on your show is one that doesn't talk enough. And one of the takeaways that you shared was how can we make sure that they will talk a little bit more. And one of them is to have an icebreaker in the beginning where you're getting them to laugh and you're building a relationship with them before you push the record button. That way the tension is eased. And you mentioned on your podcast, The Nomadic Executive, how on episode 40, you really crushed it.
That's right.
The third type of guest is the one that already is talking just right. You mesh and you vibe. One thing that I think, and I'd like to get your opinion on it, is that we can find that letter C, the third type of person that really just talks just right, by being more inviting. Like you said, with number two, and you start to be able to mesh and be able to control the conversation and pull it exactly where you want it to go. And I've definitely noticed that where I'll ask somebody a question on my podcast. I'll say something like, what year did you start your podcast again? Just because all I need is the year so that I can go into the next question. And they're like, oh yeah, I started it in 2017 and this is why I started and this is what it's about. And I'm like, dude, how far are you going? All I needed was just to answer that one question.
That's
because
right.
I've got this figured out. I'm ready to ask the follow-up question, but you're going on such a random place. So let me ask you, Omar, and I hope it does. I hope I'm not alone here.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens to you and you say something like, tell me again when you started your podcast or whatever. Tell me again when this happened, just so you can like be able to be prepared to ask that next question. But they just totally go on a rampage. 7 minutes later, they're still like talking about the most random stuff ever. What do you do in that situation, Omar?
So I think the biggest mistake that a lot of people make in that situation is they start closing up as a host and they start getting a little bit angry even. And they'll be like,
I've done that.
Yeah. And they'll do that a lot. And that's a massive mistake because that'll sour the entire conversation, not only for you, but for the guests as well. The best way to handle that is empathy. It really is. It's understanding that this podcast is a collaborative effort between you and that person right now. And that person you're empathizing with just doesn't know best practices for being on this podcast. And you, as the leader of the podcast, need to empathize with the fact that they don't know and gently guide them back in the right direction because they're not doing it maliciously. Very, very rarely will it happen. Will someone will do it and come on your show and be like, oh, I don't respect this guy. I'm just here to get some more clout on his podcast and I'm just going to talk about whatever I want. And then I go out of my way to humble those people. But that's very, very rarely, right? And I've been in the podcasting space for a long time and I've met millionaires and multimillionaires. And the only person that I've ever had that with in my entire life was another big podcaster that wasn't even in my vertical, right? And I stopped the show midway and I just said, look, this isn't going to work out. So very rarely, okay? You got to handle it with empathy. And how do you guide it right back in the right direction? First of all, keep in mind that it's a show that's pre-recorded, so you can always edit anything out that needs to be edited, okay? So you calm down first. Then from there, you let him finish the conversation and be like, look, that was great. I want to steer the conversation back in this direction.
Do you do that? Okay, so you just said a key thing, but I think we need to know if you mean that you stop it as part of the interview where you're like, hey, that was great. Well, I want to turn it in this direction. And it all is part of being recorded and will be published? Or is it a little bit different? And am I off base? And it's more like, hey, that was great. I'm going to cut this out. Let's go on to the real direction. What way is it for you?
For me, I already know in my head that I'm going to end up cutting that part out because it was a tangent. And in the conversation with him, I'll be like, that's awesome. I want to keep it less off tangent. Let's keep it more on topic. I'll just kind of explain to him what the gist of it, of the podcast is right on the show. And I'll edit whatever needs to be edited out. But and I'll say something like that. I'm like, let's keep it more on tangent. I do want to keep it as much value as much as we can for our audience. I know you have a lot of insightful things to say. So why don't we turn the conversation back in this direction here? And I'll say it like that. And I'll say it in a calm voice. I'll say it in a way that's explaining it to him exactly. Hey, look, I don't mean it in a way that's offensive to you. I just have been doing this for a long time. And I love what you're saying. And I think you're full of knowledge and we'll get to those things, but let's just circle back around and go one point at a time here. Let me steer the conversation that way. Yeah.
You're a master. Like, where did you learn how to, oh yeah, you write poems and you love the English language and you've been a copywriter. You are a master. I love it.
It's frame. That's really what it is. A young age, not always, I didn't always have this. This is something that I really, really trained this out of whenever I was younger.
I don't mean to cut you off because I know that you are awesome and you'll always be in a good place, but I want to steer the conversation in another place.
Let's go.
Here's your 1.5 hour training. You've given us a little bit of stuff. What's one more tangible thing from your 1.5 hour training that can allow me or the listener, who's also a podcaster, to just be better at their craft interviewing people?
Cool. So the training is an hour and a half long, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I do have two slides here that I do want to share that I've kind of almost coined myself, and I at least haven't seen them anywhere on the internet. I think it's a good thing to actually share with the audience that you have, which is mainly podcasters. And number one from those two slides, it's a combination, it's called Wit and Flow. Wit and flow is a skill that you basically gain over time, right? Essentially, the meaning is thinking quick on your feet and being able to steer the conversation without a second thought. Whenever you're in a conversation and the moment that you see that it's going off tangent, you're able to steer it back in the right direction. The moment that someone asks something, you're able to respond with the perfect quip. Like, that comes with momentum and that comes with experience. And in that perfect moment of being like that perfect podcaster, and you know you can feel it when you're in that moment, I call that the wit and flow stage. Okay.
And that's so cool. I've written that down. I don't know what we're going to title this episode, but it could literally be called Wit and Flow.
Awesome. Awesome. So the main thing to have that wit and flow sooner rather than later is presence. Presence is very, very important. And you see this, whether it's in podcasting or just in normal conversation, a lot of people get stuck in their head. And when you get stuck in your head, you're focused too much on thinking of what's the perfect way to respond to something, or you're focused too much on the externals of where should I steer this conversation, when really it's counterintuitive. The way to really achieve perfect wit and flow is to be perfectly present. And you can do things to put yourself in the present moment, right? What I like doing is I like pretending the person that I'm speaking to is literally right in front of me, whether it's on Zoom or not, and everything else melts away and it's just me and that person. And I'm empathizing with that person to the fullest degree. And all I care is not my phone, not any distractions, just that person that's right in front of me. And I try to hang on to every single word that they say. I think that's how you can get fully present in a conversation. And when you're in that moment, you can almost feel it inside of you. You can feel like the chills. It just feels really good to be able to connect with another human being. When you frame it that way, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the most technical thing. You could talk about rocket engineering on a podcast. But if you're with that other human being and you're having that conversation, you're able to connect with them on something that you're both passionate about. There's nothing better than that. And that's how you really get into the wit and flow stage. Now, some tactical ways of how you do that is one, listening more than you speak, right? So make sure you're actually listening, being an active listener, not just listening, not just waiting for them to finish their entire 3-minute spiel and then going back and saying something afterwards because you feel like you have to, but actively listening, like, oh, wait, you just said that. That makes me really curious. So tell me a little bit more about why you said this and what was your intention behind that anyways in the first place, right? Be really, really present and actively listen, and things that capture your interest, don't hesitate. Dive deep. And you'll find moments like that, interruptions are actually accepted and even wanted. Because something that I don't agree with personally, you know, everyone knows who Gary Vee is, right? His conversation style when it comes to podcasting, I think it's way too interruptive, which works for him because he is the authority figure and he's always trying to paint himself as the authority figure, but it also annoys a lot of people. And he says this all the time. Whenever I interrupt people, I do it with intention because I truly want to know more about something that person said. So I dive deeper in that thing. Like if someone randomly says, oh, and when we were younger, we were really broke. My mom was a single mom. And then goes on to the next point. I'd be like, no. Go back to that for a minute. That sounds really, really interesting. I'm just talking about something that I did with a conversation with somebody earlier today. Is it because you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, what was that? And how was the feeling when you were younger? And what did your mom think when you got older and actually got wealthy? Learn more about that. So presence, listening. Number three, and I keep using this word, deep dive. And you can deep dive in tactical ways. You can ask questions like, why did you do that? What was your intention behind it? How did it feel? Why this? Why not that? Why would you go to Paris and not Germany or Switzerland? Why Paris? Things like that. And then you can also relate. Now, people mix this up all the time, but relating to exactly what the person did isn't the best way to relate. Like, for example, hypothetically speaking, let's say you went on a snowboarding trip in the Alps. And even let's say I have gone on a snowboarding trip in the Alps. When you say that, if I relate back with something factual and just say, oh yeah, I've been on snowboarding on the Alps too. And yeah, that was really cool. We might geek out a little bit, but it's going to leave the audience in the fray.
You know? What do you mean? So if you went on a snowboarding trip in the Alps and I did, and I was like, oh yeah, I have too. And you and I are having that positive banter.
Yep.
It's going to alienate the audience. Does something bad to the listener?
Yep.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
So how much of your audience do you honestly think has gone snowboarding in the Alps? Very few. You and I could geek out about snowboarding in the Alps all day, but the audience has no idea what's going on. And they're just going to kind of disregard it and be like, eh, I can't wait till this part's over. But if you relate to, let's say he went snowboarding in the Alps and he said, oh man, that feeling of just having the wind go past my body, going downhill like 40 miles an hour was just, it felt so incredible. And then you say something along the lines of, oh yeah, like I know that feeling of going really, really fast and just having everything melt away and just like only worrying about that single moment and just being completely present. I know that feeling. If you relate on somebody else's feeling, most of your audience can relate to that. And they'll
That's
be much
so good.
More engaged. Yeah. So relate on feelings. That. Don't relate on factual information.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I call wit and flow. Everyone can relate to feelings. Not everyone can relate to factual things.
So I just had somebody on the podcast right before I was recording with you. I was recording with a woman who has the Wine and Cheese May podcast. And the wine, I'm a huge wine lover. And we bantered a little bit about the wine. And now that you're teaching this, it's making me think, man, I probably left out a good majority of the people that were listening to that podcast episode, or I guess technically will be listening to that podcast episode.
Right.
Just because we dived so much into wine and different vineyards and types of wine and types of grapes and styles of wine. And we were just geeking out on it.
On the flip side there, you probably have a small minority of your audience that probably geeks out about the wine the way you two did and is really going to resonate with that show, but you're going to alienate a majority of the audience that you built up for yourself because of that.
So even though you haven't heard that episode, you just kind of heard a little bit about how I talked about that episode. Do you have any thoughts that you think could be done well in an instant like that?
So did you bring her on just to talk about wine? I got to ask that.
No, it's just that her podcast is about wine and chisme, where chisme, I think, means gossip in Spanish.
Okay.
And in the interview, she actually mentioned that she drinks wine on every single episode and she's getting sponsored by different wine producers that are like, oh, put my wine on your show, right? And we just kind of geeked out on some of the types of wines. And I thought it was fun to be able to talk to somebody who cared about wine as much as I do. And so it wasn't all about wine. It was really about honing in on your avatar and really going niche, because for her listener, they have to love wine and they have to be part of the BIPOC community. And it's the BIPOC community that loves wine that listens to her podcast. So she's really niched. Right. And so that was the purpose of the episode, but we spent a good 5 minutes mostly on just like geeking out on wine. What do you think I could have done that would invite the majority of listeners to have something tangible?
I'm going to answer that question in a way that if I were you, I'm just going to put myself in your shoes there for a minute. What I would have done is two things, right? First of all, I would have kept in mind that essentially my ideal listener, the majority of my listeners, has a name and a face, is in that room with me while I'm having that conversation with the other person. First of all, I'd envision that. And think about it when you're in a room with three people and you start diving deep in conversation with the other person and you're both vibing really well and you're letting the third person listen to it on purpose, but then you start talking about an inside joke just between you and that person. How is that third person going to feel? Probably not the best. So first of all, I'd paint that picture in my head. Second of all, it's okay. Don't judge yourself having those moments where you're geeking out about wine. Your audience will enjoy you having fun, okay? Because they're taking your lead at the end of the day. But if it becomes like a 5-minute thing in their ear, then it's just like constantly like, I'm just going to tone this out. And some of your hardcore fans will stay throughout and they'll just kind of tone it out and they'll mind their own business or doing whatever. They're probably doing something at that time listening to the podcast. But a majority of them, not a majority, but maybe half of them would be like, you know what, let's skip through this or let's go to another episode. So that's what's going to happen. And the way that you can alleviate that is if you see moments like that creep up, maybe geek out about for like 30, 40 seconds, and then turn the conversation into something that can be conducive for your audience. So if you're geeking out about wine, something that you mentioned was that she has wine sponsorships, you could be like, so how did you manage to get such niche sponsorships for your wine anyways? And you could just turn the conversation to something that's in the same topic, but something that's conducive for your audience. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I appreciate it. I'm learning from you, my friend. Thank you for sharing that, going deep and give it to me straight. Omar, I want to ask just one or two more questions of you. Sure. And so the first one is based around really what we're talking about today, not about your 1.5 hour training, but just like a quick tangible thing that can help us have better banter that is related to the audience. And I want to make sure that we also talk a little bit about what you do and how you can serve the listener. So start with better banter.
Better banter. I think it's practice and presence, those two, and curiosity, three intangible concepts. If you learn to get more curious about people, realizing, and I forget, there's this incredible word for it, but I forget the word. It's actually one of my favorite words in the English language, but I'm so horrible remembering names. What it basically means is understanding that everyone on this planet has this distinct individualistic story of experiences built up of like 20, 30, 40 years, however old your guests are, that's so different than what you've lived and your upbringing and all that, that they have so much. Like, imagine how much you could talk about yourself, even though some people aren't comfortable talking about themselves. They could probably write a whole book and books on books upon their own life story. Like, each human being has this. Like, imagine how much of knowledge, how much incredible, amazing, like, stories there are out there just between people. Right? So that's the curiosity side. Practice is just converse with people that you've never met before. Go in Clubhouse. That's a great place to converse with people you've never met before. Go to networking events. Go out, meet people. If you're an introvert, then converse with people over the internet, or at least make the effort to go and talk to people. Go up to people cold, like you never spoken to anybody on the street. Just you're at the signal light one day, or you're about to cross a crosswalk and you see somebody next to you. Hey, how's your day going? Nice to meet you. Just give a smile to somebody in a car, you know, empathize with human beings. So like, they're human at the end of the day. No one's doing anything perfect on this planet. We're all just screwing everything up in our lives. So just admit it and empathize with everybody else. So that's the practice side. And then the third thing I said was presence. And I think that can really be achieved with little practices like zoning everything out and just intense focus on something or someone through meditation, as generic as that is, through writing. I get very present when I write. And even taking time for yourself in nature. I think that's really, really important. I think I'm the most present when I'm at the beach or somewhere in the mountains or in a forest. And I realize that, and through travel is where I find my deepest presence. So that's why I travel so much.
Practice, presence, and curiosity are going to help you. Wit and flow, not just banter. Lots and lots and lots of takeaways. I'm curious. You've got The Nomadic Executive, which our listener, another podcaster, is going to come and check it out. They're going to give you an honest rating and review. And you've also got Nomadables, your company, and the Nomads Cast, the agency, marketing agency to help podcasters. I want to understand, number one, and it's just a quick answer. Don't go on a giant tangent like some of the other peeps. Does your business mesh well with your podcast? Do they serve the same audience? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Half and half, but not really.
Okay. Go dive a little bit deeper into that real fast if you can.
I have thought about creating a podcast around podcasting just like you before to be able to mesh with my business, but I could use it as a lead gen source, and it's possible that I might do it in the future, but not currently. My podcast is around the digital nomad and entrepreneur life. So there is slight overlap because the people that I serve in my business are entrepreneurs for the most part, busy entrepreneurs. But really, my podcast started as a hobby. It started as something that I just really enjoyed talking about, and that's business and travel. And I loved creating content about it, and I just love how versatile the content was, because when I was young, a dream that I had was to be a travel vlogger. But in a way, I have done business with some of my guests that have come on the show because they're business entrepreneurs. And the service that I have, which is serving busy entrepreneurs, especially with high-ticket businesses or mid-ticket businesses, market the podcast they have or use a podcast to market what they already have as a service or a product. There is slight overlap, but even to this day, my podcast has kind of become my test subject, my resume, and my socials has kind of become my testing grounds and my resume as well, if that makes sense.
It does, 100%. So with your business, I just want you to share briefly, because you already kind of mentioned it a little bit, who your avatar is, or who you know you best can serve, because they're probably listening, and how you serve them.
Sure. So our ideal avatar is twofold. Number one is a busy entrepreneur who doesn't have a podcast that has some sort of mid-ticket to high-ticket offer that's a grand or more that they can get from one client. They just don't have time to dive into too much marketing efforts or spread themselves too thin. So what we do for them is we're half digital marketing, half podcasting agency. And we basically create a lead generating podcast and then create content from that podcast to organically grow all their social media platforms. And that's the gist of what we do for them, so that all they have to do is hit the record button, similar to what you do, but slightly different. Hit the record button, and then we take care of the rest, including the guest outreach. We're very targeted with the guests that we bring on their show, and we go with a value first ask. So we're getting their ideal clients right in front of them. And the second persona that we serve is current podcasters that are already podcasting, and we take their wealth bank of content they have already out there, podcasters that have had podcasts for like at least 30 to 40 episodes. And we take all that content and we repurpose that content into aiming to go viral on social media, using the most high ROI pieces of content to organically drive traffic back to their service or product. So those two.
Love it. Good stuff. And I can't wait to chat with you more about that as well. I like that we do have some overlap, but also we have our own niches where you're really focused on repurposing that content and helping people get guests. I've never done that. I don't think I plan to do that anytime soon, but it is a service that a lot of people that come to me want. They're like, well, do you help get the guests? Because I'm worried about getting guests. I'm not sure if I can find a real good guest. And you're crafting the message through copywriting that you're so good at and getting in front of these guests, getting the guests on the show, letting them connect with them, and that helps them do more business with the people that they have on their guest. And also, I think, in my opinion, I've always said this, when you have your perfect avatar as your guest, I really think you're attracting more of your perfect avatar because they can resonate best with that guest because they are going through a lot of the same things. So that's interesting. And I really like that you're repurposing content. So they have 40 or more episodes. They've already been doing this and you're taking what they've already created, what they've already spent hours on, and you're finding a way to make it go viral so that it really impacts their podcast even more. So those are two things that I don't do that you do. And it's very interesting. I love it. All right. Well, Omar Mo, I'm going to be wrapping this podcast episode up. I appreciate you coming on the show, adding so much value. I think I've, for the most part, always repeated it back. So I don't need to do a final recap today, but I want to just make sure that the listener knows how to find you and get a hold of you if they're your perfect avatar.
By the way, awesome on the recapping. That's something I've never experienced on a show. Props to that. You related every word back to me. That was amazing. and I'm sure the audience got a ton of value from that too. If someone wants to find me, I think the best place to really reach me these days is on Instagram, just at Nomadables. You can reach me on there, or you can look up my podcast, The Nomadic Executive, as Adam has kindly said multiple times.
Thank you, Omar. Omar Mo, you added a lot of value to our podcasters who are growing, and I hope that a couple of them reach out to you, find you, and definitely, no matter what, go to The Nomadic Executive. Listen to an episode or two. And just give him an honest rating and review and tell him, say, hey, I found you on Adam Adams' podcast. And by the way, if I can help you, go to growyourshow.com. I'd be more than grateful to serve you and your podcast. Bye for now.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.